Amen. If you would, in your Bibles tonight, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. What a great song. Enjoyed the music today, haven't you? Very good. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll read a couple of verses of Scripture. And I guess some were scared off by the rain and some were scared off by just talking about ministry. Everybody ought to be a part of ministry. I'll never forget, I went to a conference about 4 years ago and heard the statement that every member ought to be a minister. I think that's absolutely correct. Every member ought to be a minister. Every member ought to be involved in ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, look with me in verse 11. It says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the building up of the body of Christ." Heritage Baptist Church has been given some great members. And what a privilege it is to be a part of this church. I mean that. And the membership here that God has provided for us that works so hard to make sure that all the ministries go forward. And God's blessed us with an equipping army. An army that's built in such a way to equip the saints. And we want to continue to see growth in our church numerically, but more importantly, we want to see spiritual growth. By the way, numerical growth is a byproduct of spiritual health. The numerical growth of the church is a byproduct of a healthy church, a spiritually healthy church. And we see that going on today. And certainly we're not perfect, amen? And we have a long ways to go, but God has blessed us because of the membership who strive to be spiritual. Salvation is only the beginning. Then there's faithfulness, and God is required of a steward to be found faithful, and God wants faithfulness from His children. Amen? God wants faithfulness from us. And then that growth continues, and when we are saved and when we are faithful, we begin to grow, that turns in or equals service. You cannot grow, if you would, in your Christian life to the point where God wants you without service. Service is a part of that growth. It is important that everyone get involved. It is the greatest work on earth, this work. When we speak of the body of Christ, we're not talking about some invisible, universal church out there. The Bible doesn't speak of a universal, invisible church. But the Bible, when it refers to the body of Christ, is referring to Heritage Baptist Church. It's referring to individual churches, Victory Baptist Church. And tonight, God intends for each member of Heritage Baptist Church to be involved and to be a minister somewhere. And I've used the illustration 1,000 times, but some are pulling the wagon and some are riding on the wagon. Which one are you? All of us ought to be pulling the wagon. All of us ought to be one of those horses out in front of that stagecoach, pulling the church forward, constantly pulling the church forward. So God has placed some in the church. Now we know Ephesians goes on to speak about, and so does a couple of other places. Corinthians talks about the church being a body, uses that illustration, and that we are a body that's fitly framed together, and that each body part is essential for the body to work. We talk about, the eyes are important, the hands are important, your fingers are important, right? Lose one and see what happens, right? Break an arm and see how that feels, how hard it is to function, if you would. So each person, each member of Heritage Baptist Church is a part of the body and therefore an important part. And it's very important we understand that we're not all, it's not just a bunch of chiefs and a bunch of Indians. We're all together, working together. I know that's not a politically correct illustration, but I used it anyway. The pastor has been put here by the Lord, absolutely. But the pastor is myself, I'm just a human being. And some of y'all have known me for a long time. You know that for sure. The pastor's simply here put by the Lord. The deacons were simply put here by you, by the way. You know, the pastor is called to the Lord and put here by the Lord. The deacons are called and put here by you. Right? And it's important that they are an important part of leadership. But they're not at all. We all have to work together. And whether it's a Sunday school teacher, children's church worker, I appreciate Brother Gilbert tonight sitting back. Roy Reed is on a cruise out somewhere in Alaska. And Brother Gilbert's back there, greeting people at the door. If you see somewhere where somebody has stepped out, just step right in and just get going, right? it's important that each of us work in some part or another. Let's pray and then we'll get started. Lord, we do thank you tonight for your love. We thank you so much for the opportunity to serve in this ministry. God, we thank you for such great workers. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are growing. The Bible talks about in John 15, Jesus says, those who are growing will produce fruit. And again, I know the old saying used to be, we shouldn't be fruit inspectors. But that's not what the Bible really says. The Bible says, Jesus says, by their fruits you shall know them. So therefore, yes, you can look around and say, you know what? That person's not producing fruit. There's something not right. As Christians, we ought to be producing fruit. We ought to be involved, ministering, doing something. The church, again, steps to service. Number one is salvation. Number two is church membership. Jesus Christ communicated and built His church. By the way, He is using His church, not the Red Cross. The Red Cross is doing some good things. The Salvation Army is doing some good things. But Christ established the church, and He uses the church, and He blesses the church. Amen? I'm not saying you can't give your dollars there, but I'm saying you ought to send it through the church. Amen? God is using His church. And then as we step towards service, we think about being a member of a church. We think about being consistent. Consistent. Again, a servant or a leader or anyone involved ought to be consistent in their Christian walk. Bible reading and prayer time and church attendance, all of these, as they gain consistency, put you in a place of service. This service is an indicator, talking about Bible reading, prayer time, church attendance, serves as an indicator that we might be ready to go to another level in our service to Christ. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, moreover, it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. I want to be found faithful. And if you're going to serve, you need to be faithful. I have a message I'm putting together. I got seven or eight messages I'm putting together, but one of them is, again, I'm talking about our foundation and about our theme this year. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And listen, we have a foundation here tonight. And this is the core group here tonight. There are a few core group that are missing tonight. But you're the core group. If anything's going to get done, we're going to do it. This group here tonight. And if anything's going to get done, by saying anything's going to get done, I mean done for the Lord. Amen? Amen. And then we must consider where we fit in. Again, 1 Corinthians 12 describes this body that is exercising, that has been put together for the service of the Lord. And what body part are you? You know, what body part are you? Where do you fit in? And tonight you can take the test. Some of y'all have taken it the last couple of years, little spiritual gifts test. You can take the test. You can see where maybe your gifts are at, your spiritual gifts are at. And then you can just fill out the survey. Fill out where you would like to possibly serve or what interests you have. Try to find out where you fit in. And then if you can't find out where you fit in, you know, come talk to me or come and talk to one of our directors here in just a moment. We'll have the directors here in the fellowship hall, in the children's church room. You can come and talk to one of the ones who's in charge of ministry to find out where best you can use your gifts at. And then commit. Jump in. Jump in. Jump in. Just jump in with both feet and get going. Right? Some need to recommit and jump in again. Amen. Commit. Jump in with both feet. Jump in with both feet. Here at Heritage Baptist, we do require leadership requirements. And this is an area where I have probably failed as a pastor the last couple of years. I've let these things kind of slip, and we haven't got it in the hands of the membership as much as we should. But each teacher, a Sunday school teacher, and each worker is under some leadership requirements. And, you know, leadership means that you're willing to sacrifice personal liberty for the good of the weaker brethren. The higher you go in leadership, the less you demand personal liberty. We have a dress code, if you would, for leadership. And that is, if you're going to sing in the choir, you're going to dress a certain way. Amen? If you're going to sing in the choir, ladies are going to wear a dress, and men are going to wear... I appreciate our men. I think the requirements only say a tie and shirt, but all of our guys have been wearing jackets. It looks great. Looks awesome. If you're going to be an usher, you're going to wear, on Sunday mornings, you're going to wear a tie and a jacket. There's certain leadership requirements. You say, well, preacher, why so much emphasis on dress? We come here to honor the Lord. By the way, people are looking at us. We used to have a dress code, if you would, for membership. We kind of did away with that. We said, this is what we say now. We say, if we want our leadership to dress right, if our leadership will dress right, eventually the others will follow. If you're going to serve in some capacity, you ought to dress a certain way to come to church. Amen? Amen. As you grow in leadership, so does your personal liberty is laid aside. And so these things are important. But leadership requirements. And it's not just a list of rules, but things such as soul winning. I want to remind our Sunday school teachers, in your leadership requirements, it says you must come out for soul winning. It doesn't say if you kind of want to, sort of could. It says you must. And for leadership requirements, it's important that you keep up with those requirements and do them. We can't function as a Sunday school, as a church, if we don't have anybody come out for soul winning. That's why we set one of those requirements. As a choir member, it doesn't say you must. It says you're encouraged to. So there's various leadership requirements and at different levels here in the church. And we're not going to beat you over the head with it and send you a bad letter in the mail if you don't show up. Maybe we should start doing that. I'll have Brother Kelly write them. But there are some requirements. So if you're going to be involved in ministry, less requirements for some ministries, more requirements for others. But when you commit, jump in with both feet. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." We want our leadership to be in a position to turn around to those who are following them and say, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And sometimes that requires some leadership requirements. Amen? Everybody with me? We're cool? Good, good. And then commence. Get going. See the difference you can make in your ministry. There's always going to be challenges, but the rewards always outweigh the price that is paid. People's lives can be changed forever simply by what you do and how you minister here in the church. And then continue. Continue. Don't allow things to prevent you. Don't allow the devil to render you ineffective. A lot of times you get into ministry. This has never happened to me. Never happened to me. But you get into ministry and you find out people are human. You also found out that people just really have quirks, you know? Especially if you hang around them for a few years, maybe 10 or 15 years, you know? You found out people are just really quirky. Not me. I don't have any quirks. I'm talking about everybody else. And pretty soon you meet some people who do not meet your expectation. You find out they are human. Don't allow that to discourage you in your ministry. You know, people are people. Love hides a multitude of sin. Amen? You have to understand that the devil wants to discourage you in your ministry. The devil doesn't want you teaching a Sunday school class. He doesn't want to see you working in Master's Club or singing in the choir or whatever the case, whatever ministry it may be in. So he's going to use whatever he can to discourage you, to render your service ineffective. Don't allow him to do it. Amen. Listen, I got people, there's some family members, I'm talking about my family, the family I was raised with when I'm around. And they've got some problems. I don't, but they do. And sometimes they get on my nerves, you know. And you know what, though? I love them. As I've told you, my brother's my best friend. We don't agree on hardly anything. I love him. I love him. And so as you get into these various ministries, and you get into the Sunday school, you get into Master's Club, you get into the choir, you get into nurseries, you get into ushering, you get into bus ministry or whatever, and you say, "Well, I can't believe that guy's in charge of this. Look what he's, you know." Come on. Come on. Amen? You know, I understand that, you know, the Lord wants everything done decently and in order. And if somebody in leadership is not doing something decently and in order, then let's encourage them rather than talk about them. That would include this person standing in front of you. Amen? Amen. We need to pray for the leadership and encourage them. Amen? So when you get into ministry, jump in with both feet. But as you go, continue. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't just quit because of the failure of people and so forth. We get this a lot. In nearly every ministry, I hear back from our leaders, from our directors and so forth. They say things like, these people aren't showing up for such and such, whatever it is, for the meeting I have put together. I say, have you seen some of the meetings I put together? They don't show up for me either, you know. We're all volunteer, amen? This is a volunteer organization. And we need to be loving and kind with those who follow us. Amen? And there's a time for, like I did a while ago with the requirements, you know, I kind of a little firmer than sometimes I am. But there's also, most of the time, should be a time of love and concern for them and encouraging rather than chastising. Amen? I've been saying amen a lot tonight. I need all the amens. I need that affirmation. Amen. There are many other things we could speak upon tonight, but we'd be here forever. Everyone, according to Corinthians, has received a gift from the Lord. And when you accepted Christ as your Savior, you received a gift. Now, that gift may be something simply God fine-tuning the talents He's given you. And I believe that's mostly what happens. God just takes the talents He's given you and He fine-tunes them. But you see just the extreme. Brother Harry Shepherd's not here tonight, so I'll use him as an example. Brother Harry did a fine job Wednesday night. Brother Harry, when I first met him, didn't say three words to me. If you don't think that was a gift standing up here and preaching Wednesday night for him, given to him by the Lord, your brain is fried. I mean, that is completely, when he stood up and preached, that is completely opposite of who he is. Everybody with me? So God does that for you at the time of salvation. He'll give you gifts, things that may be totally contrary to the talents he's given you. But yet he'll take the talents you have as well, whatever talent that may be. Whether it's, I think about Brother Adam, whether it's in the computer stuff or graphics, or maybe it is keeping the hedges and the roses in the yard nice, which is always nice. I appreciate those who do that. Appreciate those who come out and help mow the yard. And some of y'all have done that this summer. It's everybody working together, amen? Whatever area that may be. The purpose of a spiritual gift or the purpose of a gift or the purpose of a talent is to glorify God with it. Amen? If you have a voice, if you can sing and you're not in the choir, you are guilty of wasting the gift God has given you. You say, well, I just don't get the leadership of that. Oh, you're not singing for the leadership. You're not singing for me. You're singing for the Lord. And if God has gifted you with a voice, you ought to be in the choir. Amen. Amen. I mean, that's just Bible down the line. Be in the choir. Whatever spiritual gift God has given you, you ought to use that gift, whatever it may be. If you've got the gift of hospitality, you ought to be out in the vestibule and greeting people. Amen. Whatever gift God's given you, you ought to use it for the Lord. Well, we are the body of Christ, and God has given us a great church, and God has given us great leadership. I believe that, and I appreciate the men and women who serve here in whatever capacity it may be. I'm going to go ahead and start the slides. Are you ready, Brother Adam Armstrong? Dun, dun, dun. Ministry involves it, by there. There we go. What did I miss? Yeah, come on, guys. Come down. No, I'm not going to pass the pages out yet. Yeah, we'll get all the guys down here. I've got to start us, though. Ministry is teamwork. And it is, absolutely. If you've got a football team, baseball team, whatever it is, it requires teamwork. And I appreciate the team that God has given us. John 4:35 says, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And it is all about winning people to the Lord. It's about getting them baptized and discipling them. Amen? Our purpose as a church is to win people to the Lord. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen? And we want to keep that purpose out in the forefront. Every ministry we have is conducted in such a way that it is all about surrounding and uplifting the purpose God has given us. The Fall Festival we're about to have is just as much about winning people to the Lord as any other ministry we have. And we've seen great results from it. And so let's keep our eyes on the Lord, keep our eyes on the purpose. So I'm going to go ahead and start having our leadership come up and tell them about their ministries. They'll talk about the purpose of the ministries. And I want you to see the numbers that it takes to run these various ministries. I think it'll be good for you to see that it does take teamwork to run them. Come on, brother.
I'm the Sunday school superintendent, and I love Sunday school. As a four-year-old, my grandmother took me to church and changed my life. I had a Sunday school teacher that took interest in me and nurtured me through my adolescence and through my high school years into college and career, and changed my life. He showed me Jesus Christ, and my family today is a representative of someone in Sunday school taking taking interest in me. And you know, it's not just about the kids in Sunday school, because it works in reverse too. Because you get an adult coming, or grandparents coming, and they get a hold of what we're doing in Sunday school, and then they start inviting their children or grandchildren back in. And we see that working in a reverse order. So it works throughout the whole system. It takes 25 people to operate Sunday school every Sunday. Most of them get here early. We've got great teachers and secretaries that love their classes. They pray for their classes, and we're pretty set on all of our Sunday school teachers, workers, and things like that. We can always use substitutes. If you ever want a substitute for Sunday school, please come to me, and I'll put you on the list. We've got various areas where people will just be out every now and then. So I put some statistics on the board. 75% of the church membership comes from Sunday school. We don't ever have more in Sunday school than we have in church. You understand? We're still here, and then the rest of them come in for church. 85% of the workers come out of Sunday school. And when we're here to do something, it's the ones that are already involved in Sunday school and doing things. And then I just thought it was interesting, 95% of the pastors attended Sunday school as children. Another statistic is, in America today, 60% of elementary school age kids don't attend Sunday school. When they get into high school, it goes up to about 70%. When they go off to college, when they're on their own, it gets to be about 80%. And in America, only 24% of adults actually go to Sunday school. So you can see we really need to reach them at a younger age so that we don't have to back up. But, you know, thank God for grandparents that say, hey, you know, give me the grandkids, I'll take them. You know, and then it works in the other order. So Sunday school is the backbone of the church. And be in your place. You know, we've seen Sunday school just grow tremendously. Through my tenure, I know it's grown tremendously, and God is blessing us with a great number, and I hope that we're edifying not only the adults but the kids as well, and we teach them as they're young, and when they're old, they shall not depart from it. Thank y'all. Pray for the Sunday school.
Hello, my name is Andrea Day, for those that you may not know me. I guess my title would be nursery coordinator. I make the nursery schedules here at the church. Right now we have two nurseries. We have the cradle roll nursery, which is ages newborn to 18 months, and then we have the toddler nursery, which is 18 months until they turn 3, and then that's when the Clarks get them for Sunday school, or for church time. So right now, the nursery is a place for you to be able to drop off your children, that you are able to sit and listen to the preaching. We have a lot of visitors coming, a lot of visitors who need a place to drop off their children so they can be taught the Word of God. Right now we have 22 workers in the nursery. That sounds like a lot, but nursery is 3 times a week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. So we are really needing probably about 8 to 10 more ladies to just kind of come step up and say, I'm willing to help. We're going to need to add another worker on Sunday mornings for church service and in the nursery and on Wednesday nights with Master's Club. They had 15 on Wednesday night in the nursery, and that's a good group. It's a good problem to have. But we do need some more ladies to just step up and say, please, I'll help. You do need to be a member of the church. You need to be at least 16 years of age. So any of you teenage girls who are 16 years of age, we'd love to have you come and help out once a month in the nursery if you'd like to. So, and again, my name is Andrea Day, and I'll be in there after services tonight. And if you'd like to sign up, please come on.
All right, and then we have our local outreach, which you may know as soul winning or visitation. Of course, our objective is to fulfill the great commission of our Lord given in Matthew 28:18-20, 19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Right now, we've got some great opportunities for you. We've put together some door-to-door soul winning. Of course, that's always been an option, but we've just kind of revamped it and organized it a little bit more in the recent weeks. Or you can also come. Some people don't like to go door-to-door. They're kind of fearful of the cold calling. Or you can do what we call warm visiting, is following up on all first-time visitors. First-time visitors come, they kind of are expecting you, so it's not a surprise. And then canvassing for bus riders is always a great opportunity for outreach as well. And Brother Cook will be talking more about that. But met my wife canvassing for bus riders. Amen. Amen. Soul winning pays. Amen. And then delivering gift packages. And this is a real non-threatening, very soft visit to make in the community. We purchase lists of new move-ins, and we usually get anywhere from 30 to 50, sometimes 60, 70 a month. And there's always new move-ins to be visited. We have a nice package that we take to their door, just knock on their door, hand it to them. Hardly ever does anybody ever turn it down. Every now and then they will, but very, very rarely. But it's a great way to introduce yourself, introduce the church, and have a soul-winning opportunity. Our current needs, of course, everybody ought to do this because it is the Great Commission to the church, and that's us. But we do need some volunteers for our organized outreach efforts on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. and then Saturdays at 10. And then we need silent partners. For those of you who say, man, I'd like to go, but there's no way I'm talking, that's no problem at all. We need people who are willing to come and not say anything. We really do. So we'd love to have you come Saturdays and Tuesdays and be a part of our outreach ministry.
My name is Tim Abrams, and I've been blessed with being allowed to serve as the music director for over 9 years and over the choir for a couple years, I think. But I'd like to start off by saying a year ago, God was blessing our choir with 24 choir members. And to date, I have 43 choir members. But I have room for more. As you've noticed, I've spread the trees out, and I've kind of rearranged our standing up there, so I've got a front row for brand new people. So if you enjoy singing, or you catch yourself singing a favorite hymn, ever wish you could serve and do something you enjoy, then maybe the choir's for you. We meet every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. In fact, if you get here before 9, you get the good donuts. We have choir practice 2 Sunday nights a month. Normally it's the first and third Sunday, and we practice for a half hour. But all that's missing is you. And God's blessed us with a lot of new members and a lot of new people that actually haven't joined yet, that God has given you that special talent. Come and share that with others that love to serve the same way. But come and see me after church, and we'll get you in there. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Susan Graham, and my husband Bill and I are both directing Master Club this year, and this is our first full year of Master Club, and our first meeting was last week, and we started with more than we ended with last year, and it was such a blessing. Master Club is for children ages 3 through grade 6, and unlike other programs that are for church children of this age, it not only focuses on Bible memorization, but in applying that memorization, those words to their lives, so that by the time they hit 4th through 6th grade, they are actually learning how to apply those and use those in a church setting so that by the time they go into the youth group, they have a real foundation, and so that when they become adults, they can walk into a church setting and say, yeah, I can serve the Lord here. I can do this. I know how to do that. And that's a real blessing. Our daughters in the church we attended in Pennsylvania attended a master's club program, and I know that they have been able to utilize it in their lives as adults. We have a great group of people that have volunteered to help with Master Club, and we don't have a huge need there, but there are a few that we have. My daughter, who is our game director, is expecting a baby at Christmas time, and so she's going to need some help. So we need someone who will come in and be her helper during the game time every evening. She's well organized, and then just take over for her for a while at Christmas time. Also, the way the program is set up is that all the children move through their books in tandem at the same time. And we need two or three people that would be willing to come in every week and work with our new students, our visitors, who are going through their membership requirements and or students who are behind in their books. And so we really could use three people in helping in this program. And thank you very much.
All right. Well, Brother Reed is again on the cruise up in Alaska somewhere, enjoying themselves, and just pray for them as they travel. And again, the ushers represent our pastor, that's me, and fellow church members. And the ushers are the first person that the people see as they come in. And so it's a very important position, as a first impression position. And God has given us some good ushers, some great ushers, and I appreciate them. And again, as they stand up here, we've put them in sections now where they have their own certain seat, their own certain section. And as time goes on, we'll continue to expand that. And before, we hadn't had permanent ushers. We do now. If you'd like to be an usher, like to be a fill-in usher, I'd encourage you to see Brother Reed when he gets back from his Alaskan cruise. Maybe you'll have a tan. Not sure.
For many of you may not know me, my name is Adam Armstrong, and I run what we call the Uplink Ministry. We do streaming podcasts, streaming live video, we record audio and video, and we try to reach out for those that maybe don't have a church in their area or are visiting, or a lot of people like to do research about what our church is before they actually come visit us. In comparison to last year, these are the numbers we had, and pretty astounding this year. We had triple the number of visitors watch us online. We've hit 20,000 different pages this year and over 5,400 visitors. This is United States. There's only five states that we haven't reached this year alone. And these are just some of the big ones that I tried to highlight. And the more astounding is in the world, we've had 5,400 individual families that have visited our site throughout the year. Russia, Japan, I mean, places that we couldn't even get to. And that's pretty exciting. What we have for next year, we've already increased our bandwidth, and then the next thing is we want to get another robotic camera, a new video card, and a title maker so we can actually put the scriptures on the screen as he announces them. But what we could definitely use is another helper. Right now we have me and one other person, and we'd like to have one or two more to kind of rotate so we can actually come sit with our family as well and help cover and spread out. But it's kind of a new ministry. We've been doing this for a couple years, but the streaming video we just started last year, and it's been a big hit. So thanks for all your time and your support.
My name is Charlene Clark, and Kelly and I do the Children's Church. Just to let you know that's usually that racket you hear going on over there during service. That's us containing the children. We do take kids, the three-year-olds, up through the fourth grade. So when they're coming out of that nursery, we're taking them that way. I would say, please continue giving to the addition up there, because that's where we're going to move to. So the sooner we can get that built, the sooner we can get down from here, it'd be great. Right now, we utilize 7 people a week. I would like to see that get to 8 because our numbers are growing and we could use that 8th person a week. And we do rotate, So if you get in the rotation, it's about every 4 to 5 weeks I would be using you. We need all kinds. We need somebody to preach. Somebody teaches. We need helpers that just corral kids. We have the puppets. If you've never experienced being a puppet, come try it out. You might be amazed at how easy it is to do. We have a snack lady. Somebody's got to get the refreshments out. So we have about 35 workers, and we can always use more. So thank you.
Good evening. My name is Adam Young, and I'm in charge of the bookstore. The objective of the bookstore is to assist in finding and providing literature that edifies and inspires learning for Christians and books that follow biblical fundamentals. I can get any book that is Christian-based. That's sometimes a quarter of the price that you can get at a Christian bookstore. I get it through wholesale. So if there's ever any book that you've been interested in, or if you read a whole set, come see me, and I can probably find it for you cheaper. Also, I need two helpers for the bookstore just in case I'm out. And also, whenever we continue to grow, it's hard to be assisting one customer and there's another one that's in there waiting. So we're also open on Sundays after the morning services. Thank you.
All right. Miss Bobby Van Fleet is also out of town. And we do have a hospitality team. And they're there simply to encourage and help those who have gone through a tragedy. Those who have been hospitalized to help. We a lot of times like to help with food or other things. And so this is an area we need as many helpers as possible. A lot of times we do just try to call or we email, do a mass email and try to get people to help with this. And so just especially during the daytime, if we were to have a funeral or something like that, some ladies who would help put the food together, put it out, and so forth. Okay? The only requirement of that is time, because that's what it takes is time. Amen. Brother Brian, come on.
Hi, I'm Brian Cobb. I work in the nursing home industry. We minister to the emotional and spiritual needs of Christian residents. There's nursing homes where there's Christian residents that either don't have a local church because they've moved from out of town to be closer to their kids, or sadly sometimes their local church doesn't come to see them, or they can't get to their church anymore. And oftentimes they forget that they think God has forgotten about them, so they need just some encouragement. We provide those Christian support to them. Also, we try to reach those that don't know Christ. Growing up in a church, I had Christian parents. I was saved when I was 9. I firmly believe growing up that anybody with white hair was already a Christian. It just kind of came with the color of your hair. It was a long time later on I figured out that that wasn't exactly so. And sure enough, in the nursing home, there are plenty of people that don't know Christ. And every so often I get the privilege of meeting somebody that doesn't know, and maybe even get to help lead them to the Lord. So in the nursing home ministry, I invite you to get involved in something like that. Anybody that's willing to lead a Bible study or even lead a church service, we have church services on Sunday afternoons at several different ones. Bill Griffin is, we've got him roped into, helping out, preaching on two Sundays a month. When you see him skittling out of here real fast on first and third Sundays, not being rude, he's trying to not be late. And also on these Sunday services, anybody that can lead music, whether they play piano or not, or just can lead music, you know, singing from a CD, playing on a CD player. There's a total of 8 nursing homes that me and some friends are involved with, and the total residents somewhere between 1,000 and 1,200. Of course, we don't get them all into services. 6 of those we do Sunday services on all together. But if you have a heart for that, I'd sure like to talk to you afterwards.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, I'm Tanya Crawford. I'm representing Heritage Christian School. Our objective is to educate and train the whole student, spiritually, academically, physically, and socially. Right now we have 21 students enrolled this year. We have 8 new students this year, which we're very excited about. We also, a side note, most of you didn't probably know, but one of the visiting families that was here this morning was one of our students from our school this year. The need for our school is most of all prayer, of course, and then financial support, volunteers willing to chaperone on field trips, and the kids would love you if you would bake cookies or whatever for them for a special event or holidays that are coming up. You'd probably be their favorite person. Volunteers that are willing to substitute. We always need substitutes because some of our teachers, of course, ailments and things. But thank you.
Well, I've been privileged now over the last 6 months to be the youth pastor, and as you can see, God has really blessed that. We came in at March, and I think on Wednesday night we were running about 8 or 10, maybe 12, not too awful many, but as you can see, that has really grown into our largest meeting of the week. And it goes against my grain, but not anymore. I love it. And now we're just going to focus on that being, you know, so I'm not going to gripe anymore about them not coming on Sunday morning. I want them to come, and I'm going to encourage them to come. But we realize and recognize now that Wednesday night is our biggest evangelistic outreach for our youth. And God has just blessed it tremendously, more than I can even imagine. I can only see it getting better and bigger as we go. Of course, our objective is to win them. Win the lost of our city and welcome the teens into Christian fellowship and train them to walk in truth and obedience to the Word of God and worship the Lord with their whole hearts, learning and doing the work of the ministry. We currently have 20 enrolled. Our average Wednesday night meeting is 25. And over the past 4 months, we've been able to see 4 teens get saved in the last through the youth ministry. And what are our needs now? Our needs are basically... We need to have some volunteers on a rotating basis to chaperone. I thank God for Brother Cobb, who really pulled me out of a jam a few weeks ago when we had a laser tag event, and we had I needed 2 vehicles. And I drove the van, and Brother Cobb, with his Class A license or Class B CDL license, drove the bus. We needed a second vehicle, and there's no way we could have done it without him, and so I thank God for him. So we need other folks who are willing to assist with chaperone or assist with some youth activities from time to time, and also to provide some special music for our Wednesday night meeting. I would love that. I would love to have somebody who's willing to come in and sing, and I'm going to recruit a few, Brother Jansen, a couple others of you who love to get in there and love to sing. I want to recruit you and try to get you in there. But God has been good to us, and we're really looking forward to just continuously growing and seeing more kids saved through our team ministry. Amen? Thank you.
Hi, I'm Linda Smith, and I'm in charge of the care counseling ministry here. How many of you even knew we had a care counseling ministry here? Not very many. Anyway, this is biblical-based Christian lay counseling with emphasis on the lay counseling. The answers to all your problems are in this book right here, God's Holy Word, and that's what I use, is God's Holy Word. Every one of us have problems, some more than others. Some know how to deal with their problems and some don't, and so that's what I'm here for. We're going to search the Scriptures together and find out the answer to your problems. So you say, well, what qualifies you to do this? Well, I just have meager credentials, which are have a bachelor's degree in psychology and counseling. And then recently I received a board certification in Christian counseling. So I'm here for anyone that needs me. Some people may say, well, if I come to you, you're going to think I'm crazy. You know, well, no, I don't think you're crazy. I've got problems. We've all got problems. Some more than others. I mean, I've been through sexual abuse. I have faced depression, grief from a loss of a loved one, divorce. I mean, you name it. I've been there, done that. So you can't tell me anything that I don't know or have been through already. So you don't need to be ashamed. And all of this is confidential. And my verse is Jude, verse 22. and of some having compassion, making a difference. And that's what I want to do. I want to help make a difference in your life, and I count it a pleasure and an honor and a privilege to be able to help people that are hurting, and I want you to know that there is hope and there is healing. Now I'll do my other one. Now Patch the Pirate. What I need are your kids. We had 17 tonight. That is wonderful. That's a blessing. We have a lot of little kids. We need some bigger kids. We're really hurting for fourth graders and fifth graders and sixth graders. And we meet on Sunday nights, and it says 5:30, but we actually meet at 5:15. And it's from ages 3 through 6th grade. And what we do is we teach your kids songs, and they're not just little kitty baby songs. They're pretty good, substantial songs. They honor God is what they do. These songs honor God. And so what I need, again, are your children. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Brandon Cook, and I'm representing the bus ministry. We had a bus ministry last year while I was here, and saw a lot of kids come, saw some kids get saved, and it was exciting. But we're not here just to be a taxi service for kids. We're not here to just pick the kids up because their parents don't want to. We're here to reach families. Our ministries and our church are not to reach families for Christ, to bring them in, to see them saved, to train them, to do the work of the gospel. Then we don't need a bus ministry. And that's what we're here to do. I want to be able to help people, to train people. I want to see bus kids start to be bus captains. I want to see the ministry grow through multiplication, not addition. But I need a lot of help. I don't have a Class A or a Class B license, and driving that bus scares me to death. I need somebody to help me with that. I need people that are willing to just sing songs with the kids. I need runners. If you're afraid to do anything else, runners. Somebody could run up to the door, knock on the door, and say, "Hey, you ready? Let's go." I need people to help me out on visitation on Saturdays to just keep up with things. I need song leaders on there. I need captains. I've done it before. It's hard. You can be a captain and be the bus driver at the same time, but it's really difficult. I need a lot of work and a lot of helpers. So this might be for you.
Ooh, that's bad. Don't be messing with my mic. Bus ministry is one of our prospective ministries. I know we started one up last summer, not this last summer, the summer before that, and the Lord blessed it, and we want to see that continue. God's given us a good bus, a little yellow bus out here, and a good van. It's got a few miles on it. The Lord just keeps on running, just keeps on ticking. And we do want to begin a bus ministry out here. So in the past, we've talked about it. We have talked about it. We've talked about it. Now we're going to do it. And so some of you who've signed up in the past on your little ministry involvement night, you've signed up for the bus ministry, I'd like for you to sign up again. See Brother Brandon. Some of you, I've had several of you approach me about driving a bus or driving it. And so I encourage you to get that signed up for that and get going. Appreciate Brother Brandon's willingness to serve there. My family, I'm a product of bus ministry. My mom and dad were brought in by a bus captain. Mildred Corneason was her name. And she was a fine lady who used to whoop me all the time. It's back when Sunday school teachers could still spank, you know. Man, she was something. Of course, I was something. That was the problem. Y'all wouldn't believe that about me at all, would you? Hello. Prospective ministries, again, we're looking at a bus ministry getting started, looking back into getting a jail ministry started, looking at starting another adult class, and Lord willing, that will happen when we get the upstairs finished. We'll start a seniors class, looking at starting a singles ministry, still needing praying about somebody to lead that, a singles ministry, looking at various other junior church. When the upstairs is finished, we'll take the children's church, which is three-year-old to fourth grade now. We'll move them upstairs, and we'll take fourth, fifth, and sixth grade and put them down here in a junior church. I'd also like to, at the same time, start a toddler church and actually separate into three different churches. You'd have
like the 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds in a toddler type church, then you'd have children's church, and then you'd have junior church. Is that all complicated for you? It's a need. It really is. Those little 3- and 4-year-olds in there with those second and third graders, it's just not ideal. Now, when we're small and everything, but then when you get about 50 of them, it's just not even fun anymore. Is it, workers? It's not fun anymore. All right, so these are things we'll be looking at. And once that upstairs is finished, we'll have the room to put a toddler church, children's church, and a junior church together. So encourage you to be in prayer about that. Brother Brandon's already volunteered to be in charge of junior church. He volunteered for that position. He didn't volunteer. I was kidding. And then I have been talking to Brother Doyce Walton, and they're still praying. They believe they're going to be back here in January, and he will be back in charge of Children's Church, which will help the Clarks. They're ready. Brother Clark was put in there as the interim Children's Church director, and he's been there for what, probably 4 years? I don't know. 12 years? No, it hasn't been 12 years. But anyway, moving on. So be in prayer for these ministries the Lord will provide for these areas. Just to make you aware again of the finance team, this is made up of our trustees, which is Kevin Davis. Brother Randy Cook's here tonight. Brother Randy, wave your hand. That's one of our trustees. Brother Jerry England, wave your hand, Brother Jerry. This is Brother Jerry England, one of our trustees. Our deacons, Brother Bill Griffin, he was here this morning. And Brother Roy Reed, who's in Alaska somewhere, getting a tan. I get a mental image of that. I'm just kidding. And Brother Kelly Clark, most of you, he was up here a while ago. And so these are our deacons, our head treasurer. We only have one treasurer. So Brother John Reed, where's he at? Bald and everything. I think he's upstairs. So he's our treasurer. And those seven men make up the finance team, as well as myself, make up the finance team. And I appreciate these men. They do a fine job. We usually meet quarterly, sometimes more than that, depending on what's going on. And they're given the finances. They know exactly, you know, what's going on and so forth. And I appreciate these men. They also help put the budgets together for the new year. And it won't be long, and that'll be right around the corner. So appreciate our finance team. Our leadership requirements, we won't go through these tonight, but just as I've already stated, there are some requirements as you grow in leadership here at the church, and just encourage you to look at those. And then we have the gift test. We have our ushers come, and we'll pass these out. We have the Ministry Involvement Night gift test. This also has like a survey in it. It also has areas of interest, areas that you might be interested in serving. You can just check it. Now, the first year we passed these out, I may have checked these like once, which was like 3 years ago. But this last year, I have checked them many times throughout the year, and have gone through them. They were sitting in my office, in fact, when I gave them to Brother Stone. And it really helps me out. If you'll fill out that areas of interest on the back, then I'll just flip through them, you know, periodically when we're needing a worker, needing help, and that gives me an idea that you may have an interest in that area. So I encourage you to sign up. Fill those out. You don't have to fill them out tonight, but fill those out. We passed some out the other day, a couple of weeks ago, and we got a few back, but we encourage you to get these back now. We'd love to have them back, so we'll know where you might be interested. In fact, tonight, if you'll fill them out tonight before you leave and just place them on the tables there here in the fellowship hall, and that way we can pick those up later. But just take a few minutes and complete the gift test and see what kind of ministries might be a good fit for you. Be sure to mark the areas of interest there. All right? Now, our theme a couple of years ago was labors together, that we are labors together with God. And 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "For we are labors together with the Lord." And we are. We're laboring here with Him. We're laboring together. We are a family, a church family. And I want to encourage you as we continue to go forward. God has blessed us with just unbelievable growth in the last 2 years. Starting in June of 2007, the Lord began to really bless and began to see a lot of growth. And in 2008, we had 30 families join. Already in 2009, we've already had 30 families join, more than 30 families. And so we'll look to see about 40 or so join this year. And so as God continues to bless and as we continue to go forward, it requires more ministers, more people in the field working. And we're working together for a cause. And there is a cause, a great cause. And that's a cause of the Lord Jesus, to see people saved. It's been encouragement to see these teenagers saved, and here a few weeks ago that some adults saved in our services. And then to see folks get saved, out as we visit. Brother Stone has some pens in the back. When we're dismissed, if you'd like to grab a pen. And if you don't have a Heritage Baptist Church pen, you can keep one. But only keep one, okay? Don't grab a handful. All right? Y'all help us out with that. If you want a handful, you're going to pass them out. That'd be all right, too. It's real easy. Amen. All right. I'd like for all, yeah, go ahead, you, those of you who are the directors and things, if you go ahead and make your way to the fellowship hall and you guys. Miss Graham outdid herself. She's got a little booth in there. Next year, all of our leadership will have something like that. And we do want to improve. Look at them. See, they're all laughing. This is something we definitely want to improve every year. We talked about putting a booklet together. We want to try to do that. We will have that next year. A little ministry involvement booklet to give you something you can take home with you and look at and pray about. And all of these ministries are vitally important. I'm excited about the future of Heritage Baptist Church, aren't you? Amen. Appreciate that, Brother Summers. One of you are. I'm excited about Heritage Baptist Church's future. Amen. Amen. Brother Stone is too. Let's all stand. And I'm going to commit the unpardonable sin. We're not going to have an invitation tonight. So let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Encourage you to go into the next room and look there at the various ministries. Every time I don't have an invitation, something bad happens. I have now changed my mind. Let's have an invitation. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart about a ministry. I learned my lesson. I changed my mind that quick. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart about a ministry. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart in areas of service. Maybe it's leadership requirements, an area maybe you need to get settled. Whatever it may be, let's sing. Page, I don't know that we had a, Brother Tim, 353.